Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Well, they can look different. They can be small. They can be like a white picket fence. They can be transparent. Or they can be like a fortress, like that. But fences and walls have one thing in common, and that is that they are designed either to keep something in or to keep something out. Now, sometimes people have a fence that runs around the perimeter of their backyard, and the front part of the garden, well, that's kept very nice. That's very pristine. That's like something out of Garden and Home. You know, you mow the lawn. You got a nice flower bed. That's the part you show to people, is the front part. The back part doesn't look so good, right? The back part looks different. The grass isn't cut as often as in the front. The toys and the bikes and maybe the barbecue around the back, the swing. Oh, the dogs probably poo in the back, right? That's where the dogs do their thing there as well. Okay, that's kind of an occupational hazard. Parents don't mind the fact that the dogs do their stuff there because the kids are safe back there. So the landmines are kind of an occupational hazard that get cleaned up with a bucket and a bag and accompanying gagging from time to time. Meals are mostly back there. Sometimes a fence is what separates the front from the back. It's often the barrier between the front and the back. The reason it doesn't work that well in Yellowknife is I'm not so sure that those fences exist over here, because generally there's like a kind of a broken car and then scattered debris all over the place and not much of a separation between the front and the back. Well, that depends on whose home it is, right? But it, sorry. So maybe it's not such a good illustration for up here, but I'm sure you get the gist of it, right? The important piece for us today is not Yellowknife. The important piece is that God's plan for the church is that we are a heavenly community on earth, that we are designed for community, not for fences and not for barriers, an inviting community that lives connected lives, a community that lives lives connected to God and connected to one another. I wonder if you could put up that Stanley Halvas quote for me. The church was called to be a colony, an alternative community, a sign, a signal to the world that Christ has made possible a way of life together unlike anything the world had ever seen before or since. You see, the world was meant to look at us and not go, they meant to look at us and stand in amazement at the possibilities of a community where God is. God's desire for us is to know true community and to model that true community to the world. And fences, well, fences have literally nix, nada, and nothing to do with that. I'm going to read that Hebrews passage again. This time I'm reading from the Message, Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25. So, friends, we can now without hesitation walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body, so let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presenting inside and out, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. So back to fences. If you picture your life as a garden, well, we like fences. We like fences that keep the good people in and the ones we're not that keen on out. You know, the ones that when they ring the front doorbell, you pretend like you're not home. So if you've got a fence there, you can keep those kinds of people out. We like fences. Sometimes we call them boundaries. Let me make a differentiation here. Boundaries are extremely necessary in community. Fences we do not desire. They're very different. We like fences that show people what we're comfortable to show people and let them know about us. That's our front lawn. We try to keep a pristine front lawn, nicely manicured, beautiful grass, public face, private practice. But please note the difference between appropriate boundaries and fences. Boundaries we must have, but impenetrable fences we do not want. We must have the one, we do not want the other. I think in, how long have I been doing this thing on and off for 25, 30 years, I've come to learn that the most difficult people to pastor, to shepherd, to actually care for spiritually are those people who have a nice but inauthentic public face and an entirely different private practice, an opposite reality. Hypocrites, really. And to some extent, we're all hypocrites, you know, a nice welcome mat at the front door and kind of flipping the bird at the back door. I mean, to some extent, we're all that. But for some people, the two realities are so far removed from one another that it becomes completely inauthentic. You see, our backyard, well, that's a little different. That's the real us. And the more we show that, the more I think we are getting closer to the transparency God would have for us in a community that isn't fenced. Not fenced in or out. Cults have fences. Cults have a fence that say you are welcome, guide you in, but then there's a fence blocking you from leaving at the back door. We don't want to be fenced either in or out. We want you to be a part of us. Please come and join us. If you feel you need to leave, we've always had an open hand around that. We don't want people fenced in or out. We want an unfenced community both ways. A community where belonging is not only possible by exclusive invitation. There is a church in the city who will remain anonymous that you may not attend unless you are invited by someone specifically to attend. Lord, have mercy on us. You know, I build a fence because I'm not sure I want you to know what's going on in my life with the real me. I don't want you to see the parts of my life that aren't so cool, so pristine. I don't want you to step in the dog doo in the backyard, and I'm not sure because of that we can have a meal together. Because the backyard is private, and that's the private me. Well, that's one level of fence building. But we build fences at various levels. Everything in the front is perfect. Behind is not perfect. But another level at which we can build fences is we can build church communities that, for me, become illegitimate church communities where we build fences to keep certain people out. Maybe those who haven't yet bowed the knee to Jesus. Oh. Only believers welcome here. Really? Seriously? You serious? You come in here exploring and looking for something? I don't care what you believe. Would you please come? Will you please come? Maybe we build those fences to keep people who don't look or smell or behave like us out. I've explained this before, but the Vineyard's way of belonging is what's called a centered set. I don't want to go through the detail of that again, but effectively what it means is as long as your arrow on that morning is pointing towards Jesus, would you please come? You know, some churches build fences around those whose lifestyles are unacceptable or even abhorrent to us. A fence that says, you're not welcome here. This space is for squeaky clean Jesus followers only. Oh, God, have mercy on us. A Pharisaic community. Now, sadly, some churches do function like that. No known sinners around here. Craig Blomberg wrote a book, Contagious Holiness, Jesus Meals with Sinners. When last have you had a meal with a known sinner? Bless you. Bless you. No one who doesn't adhere to my legalist standards. Now, the moment we put up that kind of fence, well, then we all become hypocrites, right? All of us. My question with that kind of thinking is always this: well, if it's not the church who is called upon to love the most unlovable in society, who do we think is going to do it for us? I want to, you know, I can become more expressly me now, and then I can leave Jay Ben with a problem, right? I don't have to have the front and back fence anymore. Let me tell you something about Vineyard that's always been Vineyard. I'm going to share a story with you. And these are things that have happened all throughout my life in Vineyard churches. I have a friend in Chilliwack. His name is Randy. Randy is a part of the Abbotsford Vineyard. And Randy told me this story. They have a woman in their community who's a Wiccan. She practices Wicca. She's a white witch. She's been in that community for 5 years. 2 years ago, she bowed the knee to Jesus. But she didn't stop practicing Wicca. So she's now a Jesus follower who practices Wicca. Here's something to really blow your mind for all of my Baptist mates. I have many of them. She's also polyamorous. She has 4 boyfriends. She has sexual relationships with all of them. But she's in the church and she's bowed the knee to Jesus. Here's the part that's really going to fry your brain. One of her boyfriends came to the church leaders and said, "You know, ever since whatever her name is has given her life to Jesus, she's become such a nice person. She is so much better than she used to be." Get your head around that. That's what Vineyard churches look like. That's what we've always looked like. And that's what I desire, is that anyone who's coming seeking Jesus would find him at whatever level he makes himself available to them. It says Neil Black, the man who commissioned Jay Ben and Jess, says, "You know, I've given up trying to pray Jehovah's Witnesses out of the Kingdom Hall. I would prefer to pray that the Kingdom of God comes into the Kingdom Hall, that the Spirit falls on the Kingdom Hall, and that the Jehovah's Witnesses, just like the Worldwide Church of God," because that's what happened to them, the Armstrongites, "turn en masse to Jesus and say, 'Oh, the Spirit of God fell on us in this place.' And that the Watchtower becomes something that we've not yet seen." Here's the deal about fences, and I can say this. God does not like them. Jesus took on the Pharisees exactly because of the fences that they put up between the holy and the profane, or what they regarded as holy and profane. And Jesus is asking each one of us to rethink our fences. Because if we intend to love our church and to love the world for whom Jesus died, then I think God wants us to rethink our fences. Because Jesus, the text tells us, crashed the biggest fence of all. Because before we even talk about the fence that we put up between us and people, we need to understand that there was this great barrier that existed between God and us. The first part of the Hebrews passage tells us, "So friends, we can now without hesitation walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our high priest before God." The unknown author to the Hebrews is telling us in Old Testament language that that space, the Holy of Holies, that was reserved for the high priest once a year, is now open to every one of us because Jesus has crashed that fence. Jesus obliterates the fence between God and us. But even although God destroyed the fence between us and him, we still try to build fences between ourselves and others. But because Jesus is our great high priest, he has crashed that fence. The veil separating us from God is gone. We are able to access him. Crashing a fence for us, here's a simple gospel message, is simply this. It's a simple admission and a submission. God, you are holy, and I am not. Lord, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and I have seen the Lord high and lifted up. But you have crashed that fence for me. You took care of that problem for me. Thank you, Lord. I need you. I need you, Lord Jesus. I need you. I cannot live my life on my own because my sin is ever before me. And there's a fence that separated us. We spent a long time in the book of Romans. The book of Romans tells us all about this. Romans 3:23, we have this giant fence that separates us from God. Romans 6, because of that fence, we can't access God. Romans 10, if we admit we have a fence and we confess the name of Jesus, Jesus crashes that fence for us and the fence is gone. Romans 10, he never denies anyone a fence crashing job ever. I don't care where you've been, what you are into, what you've done, what you are doing. He never denies a fence crashing job ever. We are born building fences, walls, structures designed to hide, to protect, to confine who we really are, to keep us separate from God. We are, says Scripture, born into this thing called a condition of sin. That is our first fence, a fence that keeps us from God and keeps us from community. But once we confess, as we did this morning, our failing, realize and accept that Jesus on the cross has crashed the fence of sin, and because of that we have full access to God, then we can be in community with Him and with others. And I honestly suspect this is why good people, I'm talking about really good people, you know those kinds of people who are so good, but they can't confess the name of Jesus. They're so good that I look at them and I go, but Lord, they live a better life than me. They struggle to see the need to bow the knee to Jesus because they're good. Here's the problem. They're not perfect. God's standard as a holy God is perfection. The law is perfect, and no one outside of Jesus has ever been able to obey it in thought, word, and deed. That's the deal, and Jesus has crashed that fence. The barrier between us and God has been removed on the cross. Surrender your life to Him. If you've done it before, do it again. Draw near to Him in relationship and even closer to Him in community. Then secondly, we need to know that Jesus wants us to allow others, all kinds of others, into our front and backyards. You know, we sing songs here, we greet one another, we smile. But we want to grow to a place where we're not doing any of that from behind some kind of defensive wall. We don't want to keep up appearances. Jesus crashing the fence of sin impacts His heavenly community, that's us, on earth, the church, as a people. We're asking Him to tear down fences. There is not a fence that exists in the community of God. There should not be such a fence, but of course there is because we tend to rebuild them. Even although Jesus has crashed our fence, we really want people to only see the pretty parts of our lives, and so we rebuild these fences. We don't want people to see our dirty laundry, so we tend to keep building those walls. We tend to allow people certain parts of our estate access to, but not to others. And I think a part of the reason is where community isn't functioning, people love to hear the dirty laundry on one another. I can say this now, I haven't been able necessarily to say it, but when we came in here, and we'd been here 6-7 months, and Anita and I were in our apartment, and Anita had someone over for tea. We'd only been here 6 or 7 months, and this person started sharing the dirty laundry on everybody else in this church. And Anita had to say to her, stop. Like as in, stop right now. Because that is not how we experience those people. Community's not working. That's what it can look like. But if we're going to experience loving church, then that means intentionally loving our church and others, not dishing the dirt. If we intentionally love our church and others, it means first loving each other. And loving each other is impossible to do from behind a fence. Last week's text was this, John 13, 34 and 35. Here's the gist. Here's the test of where the community is working. Let me give you a new commandment. Love one another. In the same way that I have loved you, love one another. This is how everyone, read the watching, waiting world, will know that you are my disciples. When they see you, the love that you have for each other. That's the sign that John gives that we're a heavenly colony. So what's for us to do? What's for us to do with all of the fences we've erected? It's hard to know how to love each other. Well, the text gives us a prescription. Don't avoid worshiping as some others do. This is important. Now, this is a passage really that pastors have used for years to guilt their congregations into coming to church on Sundays. I don't think that that's what it's about. Of course, it's about Sunday worship. Sunday worship is important, but with breaks, particularly up here. You need breaks. You need to take a break from church. In summer, you've got to do that stuff. You've got to look after yourself. Not many pastors are going to tell you that. Community functions also around the recognition that it's not a guilting or a shaming. We want to come together to worship. He's not talking about Sundays. He's talking about Dietrich Bonhoeffer's stuff, life together. He's talking about life in community. Now, here's the deal. Your nuclear family is your primary community. And you need to put appropriate boundaries around that. Young families here, please, your nuclear family is your primary community and you need to put appropriate boundaries around that. But the trick is to do that without erecting impenetrable fences. There is a vast difference. Community involves boundaries for sure, but not impenetrable fortresses. And there's a trick around how to do that. Community means that we head deeper with people than what is evident on the surface. You can't do that with everyone. But you will head deeper with some, because the only way to get to know someone is to get to know them beyond the silly, culturally appropriate exterior. It's like a school of dolphins. You see a little bit of activity on the top of the water, but most of the activities beneath the water. The text says, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the day of Christ approaching. So whose garden are you in? Who's allowed in your yard? Exercise discernment here, for sure. But we need people from the community in our space. Maybe that takes place for you here through kids' church or worship or prayer. But what happens outside of here? Bible study opportunities, one of the women's groups. Maybe you do it there. If you don't, consider it. Maybe consider this, just an informal friendship and hanging out together, because God is in all of that, not just when we pray and sing together. Please. God is in your barbecue. He's in your and my conversation, John, when I meet you in the Uptown Independent or wherever it was. To genuinely love our church, we have to love someone in our church. This does not mean that everybody's going to transform into some kind of extrovert. It also does not mean that you don't place appropriate boundaries around yours and your own. That is your primary responsibility. What it means is simply that we will not live in isolation from one another. That's simply what it means. Community is standing in someone's space. It means that you stand in someone else's yard and you know that just enjoying the company is a legit form of God's community. Living in one another's spaces, no fences. It takes intentionality. It takes strategy. Community takes strategy, finding ways to encourage one another, seeing beyond the walls and fences. Love in action. Somebody's car breaks down. You're a mechanic. You help. Somebody runs out of fuel and I pick up the phone and say, hey, Seeth, I'm stuck for the second time. Can you believe it? I've run out of gas in Yellowknife. And first he asks me what's wrong with me and then he comes and brings the gas anyway, right? It's having certain phones on or phone numbers on your mobile phone, knowing that if I run into trouble, I can call Richard and say, Richard, I'm stuck here. Can you help me? That is community in action. I'll bring them a meal ministry. Get involved in that kind of thing. It's having go-to spaces and enjoying helping each other to serve Jesus in the time that is given us to serve. And here's the thing. These things don't happen automatically. They happen when we think about how we can make them happen. And I'm going to close with this. Here are just some things to consider in terms of how to make them happen. The first one is have healthy and realistic expectations. An unhealthy and unrealistic expectation is that we will all know everybody equally well and that every single person will be my bestie. That is not a realistic expectation. It's not even healthy. A healthy expectation is that I can build some great connections here throughout the church, great friendships with a few more, and a very, very deep relationship maybe with a handful of people. That is a healthy and a realistic expectation. But these things take time, but we need a healthy goal in mind. Accept that small steps are fine. Let me be unambiguous. Living without fences is not living without boundaries. Have you heard that? Did you hear that? Is that okay? It doesn't entail letting every person into the most personal parts of your life. That's not the goal at all. First one hangs out in the front garden, then you go, hey, I think there's something in common here. Then you hang out in the back garden, and then suddenly you find there are those God friendships that God brings across our paths. And also there are times in our lives where we need to be more bounded, and there are times where we need to be freer, depending on our life circumstances. Take some ownership. Realize that this is everyone's job, not everyone else's job. People who are disillusioned with community, usually, well, it's everybody else's job. Nobody's being community to me. Be community to somebody else. Friendship is a two-way thing, eh? Stop asking what others are not doing for you and ask how you can connect with others. Know that Jesus has crashed the fence for us. Allow someone into your space and enjoy the ride. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.